John 18, verses 15 to 18. Peter's first denial. John sets these episodes out, and they are episodes, verses 15 to 18, Peter's first denial. From verse 25 to verse 27, his second and third denials. Meanwhile, from verse 12 to verse 14 and verse 19 to verse 24, we have Jesus' trial with Annas. I call it a trial, but it's a sordid, Gestapo-like confrontation. It has more akin with the Gestapo and the Mafia than it does with the Old Bailey or some county court or properly constituted legal assembly. And John moves us from this sordid affair out into the courtyard where Peter is standing, looking on, waiting. And we have Peter's first denial. Now, of course, this is a very moving way to set it out. We move between one scene and the other. Seems to me a very modern way. And it speaks powerfully. Verse 19 has the word meanwhile. It's all going on. And my understanding is it's probably some connection between the two. Maybe there's a gallery, an opening somewhere that the courtyard and the trial are sort of half connected. There's evidence of that. Peter is close by. And of course, Peter falls heavily here. How are the mighty fallen? And of course, he's an enormous target, a huge target, a big target indeed. And of course, there is much we can say and stand back and criticize him for. Had he not been warned? Had he not vowed to stand firm? Was he not determined? Had he not spoken up and more for Christ? Verse 10, he was the one who defended Christ even with a sword. He loved his Savior. He loved his master, and he was going to stand, though all others would desert and run away and so on. He wouldn't. But the mighty fall here. And he's a warning to us, of course, brother and sister. The path to hell is paved with good intentions. He's caught off guard by a serving girl, a girl at the door. "You're not one of this man's disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked him. "I am not." And he'd already gone on the slippery path to where he would deny Christ three times. It was an indirect question. It was out of the blue, though it wasn't a question out of the blue, because Christ had warned him. And he had vowed he should have been ready. But of course he was in the wrong place. In the wrong company. He's in the danger spot. And yet, when I say he was in the wrong place, I will say this in favor of Peter. At least he was there. There was one other disciple there. I think myself, although it's heavily contested, I think this was John. This disciple was known to the high priest, verse 15. He was known to the high priest, verse 16. And he brought Peter in. He had some clout and sway there. So John was there as well. And if Peter's falling, John isn't much further distant, is he? He's not much further away. But Peter here is signaled out, of course. As I say, he's a big target. But at least he was there. And why was he there? He loved his master. He wanted to be there and see him. I'd no doubt support him. Where were the other disciples? They all deserted him and fled. Where was Judas? He had betrayed the Savior. So although Peter is a big target, it's a warning and a challenge to me and to you, brother and sister. But there are commendable points about this man. But of course, it is the warning. Now, I don't want to spiritualize verse 18. But I do see that these external things, these literal things really speak of an inward spiritual reality. We know it was night, and it was night for Peter. It was cold, we are told. And Peter, this is going to be the coldest night of his life. He's standing with the servants and the officials, with the world, and he's warming himself at the world's fire. He's keeping himself warm. He's in the wrong company. He's standing in the wrong place. And it's cold for him. And it's night. My reaction is, Lord, keep me from such temptations. Lord, give me grace not to stand with the world. 1 Corinthians 10:12. He that thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he fall. The mighty are fallen here. He's a warning to us, brother. He's a warning to us, sister. But are we without sin? Does our conscience not prick us that we have failed Christ? Failed to stand for him? The simplest, most innocent question has tripped us up, has it not? God give us grace to stand. But of course our Saviour is standing there. And we know that his blood washes us from every sin. He is standing there in this mock trial. He will hang on the cross for us, brother and sister. And all our sins, and Peter's too, are washed away in the blood of the Lamb. I will say this. Praise God for the faithfulness of Scripture. This is not kept out of Scripture. This is not hagiography. This is not gilding the lily. This is not putting a gloss on it. The Bible states it in the raw. We have David's sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. We have Solomon's failures. We have Israel's failure. We have the disciples' desertion. We have Peter's denial. Scripture is faithful. It tells it as it is. And I would encourage us, all of us, brother and sister, who are believers, we have a faithful Bible, an honest Bible, a true Bible. God speaks his word. He does not hide from us the reality of our sins and failure. Unbeliever, I would speak to you on this issue. Face up to this. You dismiss the Bible. But it's a faithful book. It tells us the worst about the best of us. God does not hide or pretend or gloss over. So when he tells us wonderful things, we believe them. And when he warns us of dire dangers, we heed them. Unbeliever, you tonight, you today, are standing in the world, warming yourself at the world's fire. But if you stay there, there is a more terrible fire coming. You know what I'm speaking about. You see, there are two parties here. There's Christ and all the rest. Peter, alas, is three quarters in with the rest at the moment. And Jesus must stand alone, because he alone can be our Redeemer. But the truth is, it's either with Christ or against him. And if you stay with the world, you will perish with the world. You have a faithful Bible to read, and it warns you of it. Unless you repent and trust Christ, you will perish. I warn you, there is a world's fire, but there is an eternal fire. Well, these are the lessons I see. Warnings, brother and sister, from Peter's failure here. There are good points about him, but he that thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. Let us avoid the company of the world, finding warmth in the world. Let us rather stand out in the cold with Christ than for a moment to be warm with the world. And may we speak up for Christ, stand up for Christ, witness for Christ. And those of you who are suffering for Christ now, may God bless you. May we be encouraged, even by Peter's example here, to learn from his mistake and be resolute in holding out for Christ and holding forth the gospel, the word of life, the word of light and truth. In this dark, dark world, all the world has its fire, but it's a very small light, and it's flickering and dying. Oh, play the light of the gospel, the searchlight of the gospel, out into this dark, dark world. May we turn this sad, sad episode of Peter's denial, may we turn it into profit and good by the Holy Spirit working in us. May we learn and go and stand for Christ today and witness for him. An unbeliever, learn from this. Come in from the cold. Come into Christ now.